Okay, so like she said, I'm the coordinator for the Wisconsin Violent Death Reporting System. This presentation is focused on a report that I wrote in collaboration with the Safe States Alliance, looking at 18 states with data from the National Violent Death Reporting System. So the NVDRS gives essential information for prevention. Dr. Howery this morning in our plenary kind of gave a brief overview of it also, so I won't go into too much detail, but it was established in 2002, and states started collecting data in 2003, and there's been states that have been added as we've received more funding since then. The data sources are coroner and medical examiner reports, toxicology and autopsy reports, police reports and death certificates. Those are all the required sources. And then the system links data on incidents, and so you can look at a full incident that might have had multiple deaths, like a murder-suicide, and really see the full picture. It gives information on demographics, the injury, weapon, any suspects, toxicology, and circumstances. And the circumstances are really what the focus of this report was on, to look at how those can be used for prevention. These are the states that were included. They were the only ones that had complete data for both 2013 and 2014, except for Michigan, which only had complete 2014 data. So, Methods, this was based on two previous reports that were published, one in 2008 and one in 2014. So a lot of the methods were the same as those, and the states were the same, except the report that I wrote included Michigan and Ohio, since those were added since these reports were published. And the second report listed here focused on intimate partner violence and intimate partner problems, and then mine really focused on suicide. The data source was the NVDRS Restricted Access Database, which researchers can apply for, and it comes in a SAS file. For case selection, we used any deaths that occurred in suicide deaths in 2013 and 2014, and we used a current death, meaning the state where the actual injury occurred, not necessarily residents of the state. Analysis methods, we didn't really consider this a research project, so we didn't test hypotheses or conduct statistical tests. We mostly gave descriptions of the percentages and rates and differences between states. And then we restricted any counts from 1 to 4 and any rates with counts less than 20. So key findings from this report overall. In all 18 states, suicides outnumbered homicides. Suicide rates increased from those two previous reports for all the states, except for Michigan and Ohio, which weren't included in those two reports. And the suicide rate was higher for males than for females in all of the states. 450 homicide-suicide incidents were identified, which totaled 976 deaths. 76% of the homicide victims were female. 94% of the suicide victims, who were also the suspects in those incidents, were male. And 81% of the incidents were related to intimate partner problems or violence. Most suicides were completed with a firearm. For men, 57% of the incidents used a firearm, 26% were hanging, and 10% were poisoning. For females, 33% of suicides were completed with a firearm, 25% were hangings, and 34% were poisonings. And at least 36% of the firearm suicide deaths by youth under the age of 18, the firearm owner was identified as a child's parent. So we do try and collect firearm ownership information when there's a death in the NVDRS, but it's really, it's not great data. A lot of it is unknown or missing. So in this case, this is a minimum that in over a third of those youth suicides, the firearm was owned by the child's parent. 33% of suicide victims were married, 33% were never married, and 22% were divorced. Also, in the past few years, CDC added a sexual orientation variable and a transgender variable to the system, so states have started collecting that. It's another one where it's really not systemically collected, and so this is really definitely an undercount. But there are at least 278 suicide victims that were gay, lesbian, or bisexual, and 29 that were identified as transgender. Hopefully this looks okay. We had a graphic designer that designed some cool infographics for this report, so I just pulled out some of those. And this gives an overview of all the violent deaths that were captured for these states in 2013 and 2014. So 66% of the violent deaths were suicides. For all races, men had higher rates than women, and whites and American Indians and Alaskan Natives had the highest rates for both males and females. For each state, I created a two-page state profile that kind of looked at a lot of the circumstances and differences among demographics for the suicide victims. And so this is something that is available for each state. This one's just kind of an overview, but it looks at the different suicide circumstances among four different age groups, the youth, adult, middle age, and older adult, and then pulls out some of the more notable circumstances among those age groups. Not necessarily the most frequent, like, for example, among older adults, 56% had a physical health problem that contributed to the death. One that I didn't put on here, but for youth, I think about 10% of the suicide victims, the death was related to school problems. And so that's a notable characteristic among youth, although it's not necessarily the most frequent, since that's really only a circumstance identified among youth and not any other age group. There's a veteran variable in the NVDRS, and it's just, it comes from the checkbox on a death certificate, which isn't necessarily also the best data, but it just means the individual was ever a member of the U.S. Armed Forces. So we took a look at that, and according to that data, the sort of typical veteran suicide would be a male who completed it with a firearm and who was over the age of 65. And then also, 42% of veteran suicides had a current mental health problem identified, and of those, 17% had PTSD compared to 2% of non-veterans, which was pretty notable. Then just to look at some of the state similarities and differences, there's a lot more information in the report, but this is just a few key ones. Maryland had the lowest ratio of suicides to homicides, while Utah had the highest. Alaska also had the highest overall suicide rate, while New Jersey had the lowest. In Colorado, Oregon, and Utah, the number of suicides was at least six times that of homicides. Among males, in nine states, those ages 65 and older had the highest suicide rate. In seven states, those ages 45 to 64 had the highest. And then for ages 25 to 44, Alaska had the highest rate. And then for females, those ages 55 to 64 had the highest suicide rate for all the states. Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Rhode Island had the three lowest firearm death rates. According to a study published in the American Journal of Public Health, those states have also been identified as having three of the four lowest average firearm ownership rates. Firearm was most common for males, except in those three states also. Among females, poisoning was the most frequent method in eight states, followed by firearm in seven, and then hanging in two states. So we identify suicide victims that have known circumstances, meaning that any circumstances were identified from the medical examiner or police report. So overall, 90% of suicide victims did have some known circumstances. And here I'm just listing out some of those circumstances, and then in parentheses are the state that had the lowest number identified and then the state with the highest. So 47% were identified as having a current mental health problem. 35% having experienced a personal crisis within the past 2 weeks or a crisis was imminent within 2 weeks. 39% were identified as having relationship problems, which was much more common among younger people. And those would include family relationship, intimate partner relationship, or another relationship like a friend. 22% with physical health problems, and that was much more common among the older victims. And then 18% with job or and/or financial problems. There are a few limitations, and I know Kimberly earlier talked about a lot of the limitations of NVDRS as a whole, which is definitely true, especially with lack of standardization among collecting data with coroners and medical examiners. And then we used, trying to be consistent with the past two reports, we used a current instead of resident deaths, and then crude rates versus age adjustment. And that's everything. I have the link up there for the report if you want to go look at it. There's a lot more information in there. And then I have some acknowledgments with some of my co-authors and support people.